please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We'll be looking at Psalm 71 this evening. Psalm 71. Hear now the word of God. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him. There is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim all your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp. For your faithfulness, O my God, I will sing praises to you with the lyre, the Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. My tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Let's once again pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for this psalm that you have given to us to look at this evening. We pray that as we look at this psalm, that you would uphold us by your strength, guiding our hearts and minds to you. May you block out distractions, and we pray that you would mold us more to the image of Christ through these words. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that it may think and speak clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. One of the commentators that I've used before, or have referenced before, that I'm using during the series is a man named Derek Kidner. And as he breaks down each psalm, he gives each psalm his own title. And his title for this psalm is A Psalm for Old Age. And it's a psalm where the psalmist, we don't know who it is, David is not mentioned, but it shares a lot of similarities that David writes with, if it's him, it's most likely towards the end of his life that he writes this psalm. And it's in a sense looking back throughout his life from his birth and even thinking then before that and then on through his life, kind of recapping how God has been faithful and even through times of great difficulty that he faced throughout his life. And so as we look at this psalm, we'll be looking at it in the theme, in times of trouble, speak of God's mighty deeds and praise his faithfulness. In times of trouble, speak of God's mighty deeds and praise his faithfulness. I've broken this psalm down into three parts. verses 1 through 9 is the first point we'll look at. God is our lifelong refuge. Secondly, verses 10 through 21, in the face of enemies, speak of God's mighty deeds. And then, looking again at verses 10 through 15, but this time skipping over 16 through 21 and looking instead at verses 22 and 24, in the final point, in the face of enemies, praise God for his faithfulness. So, back at the beginning of this psalm, verses 1 through 9. The psalm begins with a plea and a cry for help, an acknowledgement of the rock and the deliverer of that is God. He is a rock of refuge. And the request the psalmist lifts up to God is to be that rock of refuge that he might continually come. And then the rest of this section is then kind of gives a recount of kind of the life and summary of David. Rescue me, or the psalmist, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man, for you have been my hope, my trust from my youth. The reference is, I have leaned from upon you, I have leaned from before my birth. You have taken me from my mother's womb. I praise you continually. And then also there at the end, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Now, as that last phrase is, we look at it, a request not to forsake me in my old age. As we consider and think about the whole psalm together, we know that the answer to this is, well, no, God will not forsake any of us in our old age. So this cry for help that we have at the beginning is based upon past action that the psalmist has seen throughout his life and God working in his own life and also in the nation of Israel. He, in response to this, gives present praise to God for what he has done, then also has this future hope as he's looking forward to the Lord delivering him again and sustaining him once again. Now, the ESV has in verse 7, I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. I think our Psalter put it, a wondrous sign. The definition of portent is a sign or a warning that something, especially something momentous or calamitous, is likely to happen. Now, as you know, I kind of take it what the meaning of this word here in the ESV is, pointing more towards kind of a warning, just the way it's kind of contrasted with, you know, I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. It's kind of a contrast of someone here being set up as a sign, as a warning of something that might happen, but yet contrasted that, but Lord, I have been taking refuge in you. As we consider, you know, if it is David that wrote this psalm, there are instances in his life that we read today that where he was set up as a warning to us, chiefly the sin he committed with Uriah and Bathsheba in committing adultery and then murdering Uriah, having Uriah murdered. And then, you know, if we consider this in the light of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, there Paul writes that everything that was written in the past has written basically for us that we might be instructed by it and learn from it. So there we have a very public figure, David, that's kind of being set up as a sign, as a warning of how not to behave, how not to act. But when we consider how, you know, Christ might fulfill this psalm, Jesus, when he hung upon the cross, he became a curse for us. He bore the full weight of God's wrath in our sin to redeem us. You know, people wagged their head at him. They saw him to be cursed by God. In a sense, he was also set up as a sign, almost of something momentous or calamitous likely to happen. But in these verses, as we consider, you know, Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross for our sins, we see that earlier in this psalm, in verse 3, Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Our God is our rock and our fortress. He is sovereign over our redemption. He is the one who has ordained our salvation from all of eternity. He has given the command to save me. I always liked how our Psalter worded as we sang it just a few moments ago. My salvation you have ordained. It is God ordained. God has commanded our salvation. Therefore, it is sure. He is certainly our rock and our refuge, a continual place to find security and peace. So in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, we're called to remember in this opening section that God has been, and He currently is, and He will always be our refuge. As we continue through this psalm, beginning in verse 10, in the face of enemies, speak of God's mighty deeds. As we look with me here at verse 10, for my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. These verses, 10 and following, primarily speak of Jesus Christ, as we have already mentioned, and the humiliation that he suffered in the crucifixion, of being beaten and flogged and humiliated and hung upon a cursed cross. People said of him that God had abandoned him and forsaken him, which the Father did do so, as he hung upon the cross for our sins. But as we see in the life of Christ, even in that instance, in the humiliation and the torture and the torment that he suffered, he never quit relying upon his God or trusting in his Father's greatness. In addition to Jesus, consider also the imprisonments of Peter and then Paul. These men, while they were in prison, still trusted upon Christ. They sang his praises. And oftentimes, it seems like when the church undergoes persecution, it's oftentimes where the church begins to grow and flourish and break down strongholds and barriers. So I was kind of thinking about this aspect of someone that we see here who is being faced with a great difficulty and enemies surrounding them, and yet they continue to rely to proclaim and to speak of God's mighty deeds for them. I kind of think of it as kind of a tea kettle. If you put a tea kettle on the stovetop and you turn it on high, eventually the heating element will get hotter and hotter and hotter. And that tea kettle, the water in there, will start to get hotter and hotter and hotter. It'll start to boil. And if you've got one of those little noisemakers on your tea kettle, it'll start out very gently getting with a light noise. And if you let it go, it just gets louder and louder and louder until it starts screaming. It's almost like what's going on here. There's some great turmoil and some hostility that the believer is facing here. And we see it also in church history of as Christians have been persecuted and tortured, it has the exact opposite effect of what the tormentors want. It's like a tea kettle, a teapot that's under the heat and the water is boiling. And as it gets hotter and hotter and more intense, the proclamation of the church gets louder and louder and more boisterous. Well, here also in these verses, As the psalmist here is facing persecution, we see that instead of being quiet, he instead begins to proclaim the mighty acts of God. In verses 16 to 18, with the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Faced with this great difficulty and these enemies rising around them, The response here is, with the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come, I will remind them of your righteousness. It is basically a proclamation of the gospel to his enemies. Another way to think about, instead of the tea kettle illustration, is an illustration my mom gave me as I was growing up. As you know, as you walk around your neighborhoods, you'll see some dandelions in various stage of flowering or seeding. And she always compared dandelions to Christians. You have this dandelion that's white and seeding, and as you know, kids or wind comes along, a kid will kick them or pick them up and blow them, or the wind will blow them down, seeming the dandelion is dead and lost. But in the death of the dandelion, then its seed is spread to the rest of the yard, and pretty soon you've got however many more dandelions springing up. It's kind of the same thing that's going on here. There's persecution going on. There are enemies surrounding him. And yet the psalmist turns, not being quiet, but turns and becomes more vocal about the mighty deeds of God and his saving help, and pleads with God to allow him to live all the more or longer so that he might proclaim still to the next generation. Now, as this we continue on in this section, verses 19 to 21. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heavens. Who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. Will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. Now, even in tribulation, throughout the valleys and the hills in life, we can look back and we can see the hand of God in it. He is a sovereign God, so even the difficult times that we face, we see God's hand. Now, I can say that as one who has grown up in a Christian home, who the Lord has taught me from my youth in the church and really put a hedge of protection around me. But I think also those who have lived a portion of their life apart from Christ and came to faith later in life and maybe suffered some great hardships because of that can even look back and see that even when they hadn't yet believed, God's hand in watching over and protecting them. Even through difficult and trying times of life, the Lord is sovereign. He is the one that carries us through this. In these verses, you know, as we might go through times of mountaintop experiences and valleys and trials and tribulations and times of joy and happiness, these words kind of echo that. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. This language of restoration, when we see Israel's history of this constant up and down motion of being close with God, being departing from God, being brought back up again, we see this revival. And we see it in David's life when he sinned, but that the Lord brought him back and restored him. And as we consider, though, in our own life, you know, we see this pattern also, and it also then points us to that final and great restoration that is to come. At the end of the age, when the Lord returns, all are resurrected before him, his believers, the believers in Christ, to everlasting life, to those who reject Christ, to everlasting torment. But what we learn in this section is the comfort that can come and the courage that can come in the face of our enemies by speaking about what God has done, his mighty acts, his acts of deliverance of the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament, his own, our individual experience of God restoring us and reviving us in times of difficulty, but then also seeing in that hope that we have of the resurrection, of God raising us from the dead to newness of life, and our very redemption that he has won for us. Speaking of these mighty deeds of God is a great source of courage in the face of our enemies. We might not have nations rising up against us in this land, but our enemies are very real. They're unseen enemies. We face a spiritual battle. And as enemies rise up against us in various temptations that come our way, can seem that they are insurmountable, but if we in those times begin to really think upon the greatness of God and what He has done for us and the victory that He has won for us already in Christ, this can give us great courage as we face those temptations and those enemies. This brings us to our third and final point. In the face of enemies, praise God for His faithfulness. In verses 10 through 15, kind of gives us the background for both, 16 to 21, but then also 22 through 24. As I look at the psalm, I view these sections as almost responses to what is going on in verses 10 through 15. In the accusers that are coming forward and the hostility that is being faced, the first response, 16 to 21, is to speak of the mighty works of God. Then here in verse 22, I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. They have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. The faithfulness of God here is being emphasized in this final section. And it's the idea of praising God with our speech for His faithfulness, but also singing praises to God. There was one time I just entered college. I was in my first year of college, and both sets of my grandparents at this time were living in the RP home. And my mom and one of my sisters, Leanna, and I would typically drive back there in January to visit with my grandparents and then drive back home to Kansas City. And there was one January that we were driving back home, and we weren't just going to drive straight through the day, but we entered a blizzard somewhere in Indiana. And it got so bad that we had to pull off and spend the night in a hotel and start out again the next morning. And as we were starting out the next morning, we'd only been driving for another hour or two, when we crossed this bridge, and we were in the right lane in this semi. We were in a line of semis, and the other semi went flying by us just as we hit an ice patch on the bridge. And the wind from the semi caused we were in a full-size van, caused it to start to swerve, and the van went this way in the other lane, and then it spun around and went back, and then the back end started to slow down, but then the back end with our luggage kept going, and there was a 60-degree incline that it started going down and began rotating again until we started to rotate this way and slammed up against a tree and stopped. And it was the only tree that could have stopped our van. We were plowing over all the other vegetation, but the one lone tree was able to stop us. So we spent another night in Indiana after that. But after the next year, we decided, we wouldn't risk vans. We would rent four-wheel drive vehicles and take this trip. We began driving, and then a snowstorm came up, and my mom and my sister and I were pretty terrified of going through that experience again. And so what we began doing is I just began reading through the Gospel of Mark. Just started at the beginning and just began reading out loud through it. And then we began singing psalms, and this gave us a great peace and a great comfort during what was a real time of worry and concern for us. Singing God's praises and speaking of His deeds really gives us great comfort in times of difficulty and tribulation, especially. As we considered the previous section and speaking of the mighty works of God, His redemption that He has won for us is the mightiest work really that He has done. He has taken sinful humanity and brought us into fellowship with a holy and righteous God. That is miraculous beyond explanation. It is the greatest of all of God's works. It is the climax of redemptive history. All of the Old Testament, as God is laying down the foundation of who He is and peeling layers back of this covenant of grace that He has entered into, till we find the full manifestation of it in the life and the work of Christ. Our redemption is the greatest of all of God's works, and it's the clear example of his faithfulness that we have. All of the promises that he made from Genesis 3, when he told Eve that your seed would crush the head of the serpent, although he would bruise his heel, all along to the various promises to Noah and to Abraham and to David, and on and on and on, and then finally Christ comes. It is the clearest manifestation, example of God's faithfulness to his covenant. This is what he was promising. This is what he has fulfilled, and in Christ he has given us and revealed to us greater promises yet to come. See, when we praise God for his faithfulness in his work of redemption and what he has done for us, that can be a real source of encouragement to us as we face our enemies. Our enemies that are defeated, but yet still attack us each day. Our own sinfulness, our own wickedness, the evil one himself, and even the sting of death. Praising God for his faithfulness in times of trouble is a great source of encouragement as we face our enemies. And so, brothers and sisters, you don't need me to remind you that the Christian life is filled with tribulation. It has its valleys. It has its mountaintop experiences. But it does have its deep, dark valleys. And in these times, when we face tribulation, when we face enemies around us, what this Psalm 71 calls us to is to remember the faithfulness of God throughout our life and how he has led us and guided us. Even beyond that, the faithfulness of God in the life of his covenant people, the promises that he has made, the promises he has fulfilled. We're to speak of these in the face of our enemies, and we're to praise God for his faithfulness and what he has done for us. And in this, as we face tribulation, as we face difficult times, I'm confident we will be given courage in the face of our enemies. We will be given encouragement in times of discouragement as we think about the love that God has so clearly shown us in his mighty works and his faithfulness. So in times of trouble, speak of God's mighty deeds and praise him for his faithfulness. Amen. Our gracious God, we do thank you, Lord, for the mighty work of our salvation. It is a marvelous thing to comprehend that you have taken us who were so filthy in our sin and wickedness, and you have brought us into such a close fellowship with you that we can't even fully understand the union that we have with Christ. That Scripture can speak of us as already having been raised with him and seated with him, and our life is certain in him, and he will not lose any of us that have been given to him. Thank you, Lord, for the certainty of your work and the certainty of our salvation, that it is not left up to us, but you, Lord, have done it all, this mighty work of our eternal life. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Our redemption is the fulfillment of promises that you made long ago, of a plan unfolding, a plan of redemption that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit devised and entered into this covenant of redemption together to save your people from our sins, even before you spoke into the darkness creating the world. Lord, you have called us from all eternity. You have been faithful to the promises you have made. And we pray, Lord, that as we face times of difficulty and trial, as we face our enemies in times of temptation when they seem to surround us and almost overwhelm us, we pray that we would remember your faithfulness and your mighty works, that we would have courage in our daily spiritual battles and gain encouragement in our daily walks with you. And may you, Father, continue to perform your mighty work, continuing to work, completing what you have started, and sanctifying us and molding us more into the image of Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.